Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today I don't know whether we're going to have our guest with us. I'm hoping he will be. But if he's not, it's just going to be you and me, you out there in the listening audience, and me here on the north shore of Monterey Bay overlooking the beautiful and scenic view before us. Well, anyway, I thought maybe I'd talk a little bit about the fact that we really are making progress. There really are people out there who are beginning to question what that emblem is on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid, capped by the all-seeing eye. Of course, there have been a couple of excellent movies, dramatic presentations, admittedly, but they sort of tell you that this is an emblem of the ancient masonry, or at least it's the emblem that has a certain amount of significance, and you know, the idea that Novus Ordo Seclorum, the pyramid with the 13 steps on it, and then the date is 1776, the caption, Adnotus Coptus, which means that he approves of our venture. All right, and so the fact that the other side now has taken it upon themselves to try to counter the information that's getting out there, because the one thing that the Brotherhood of Darkness fears above all is exposure, and the fact that the American people will understand, the fact that the secret societies have been around for over 5,000 years, and certainly the emblem that you see on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid, the glorified eye, is actually a symbol of the ancient mystery religions. It's been around for a long, long time. Well, let's get to our special guest who we've got with us now. His name is William Grieg, formerly senior editor of the New American Magazine, a prolific writer, and of course he writes his own blog, does his radio programs, and we're always glad to have William with us. Good afternoon, William. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear from you, Dr. Stan.
Well, tell us, what are we going to talk about today?
I think we're going to have to talk a little bit more about what's going on with this unfolding economic catastrophe that people are starting to pay attention to and the implications that it has for us and perhaps even for the ruling elite and the imperial foreign policy that has characterized Washington's outreach to the world over the last four or five decades.
Well, I think it's an important subject because
people are finally starting to wake up to the fact that there are tangible economic consequences to this imperial foreign policy when we see that the projected cost of the Iraq War, $3 trillion, according to this new book by Joseph Stiglitz, and we've already spent something in excess of $1 trillion on the Iraq War. The money has to come from somewhere, or it has to come from nowhere. And to the extent that it comes from nowhere, that is to say that it's conjured up by the Fed, it has to be stolen from the value of our savings and from the value of our earnings. And we're seeing now that gasoline, the price of oil, the price of gasoline at the pump beginning to skyrocket. We're seeing that the value of the dollar is continuing its relentless decline. It's declining to new lows practically every day. We're seeing that the price of groceries, particularly items that involve wheat, those prices are skyrocketing. Wheat is now reaching near record highs or record highs in terms of the price per bushel. And we're seeing this is an aspect of what's going on that not many people are paying attention to. The combination of inflation and particularly the price of energy is having a huge impact on the trucking industry. And a lot of these long-haul truckers who are independent contractors are going out of business. They simply cannot make ends meet. That has huge implications for our food distribution network. If we don't have long-haul truckers, we really don't have retail grocery stores.
Will you hold
we don't
that
have
thought,
retail
we're gonna
grocery
be back.
Stores, then a lot of us are in a really bad way unless we have the good fortune to be farming and growing our own food.
Hold that thought, William. Hold that thought. We're going to break.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest William Gregg, and William was simply talking about the inflation, the economic problems we face, pointing out that wheat has hit an all-time high. But it's not just wheat, it's rice this last week hit an all-time high. Soybeans and corn futures are hitting an all-time high. And how then can the Ben Bernanke, with a straight face, tell us our inflation rate is only 2.1%? Well, he qualifies that by saying it's the core inflation rate, not the real inflation, and they will concede the real inflation might be 4.1 or something. But once again, he's lying, because, of course, if you listen to the experts, they'll tell you the inflation rate's over 10%, and they have gotten it down to 2% by something called hedonics, H-E-D-O-N-I-C-H, which is a convenient means of saying they're lying so they don't have to pay the elderly, this people on Social Security, or those people who were stupid enough to buy inflation-indexed treasury bills. Of course, you have those. You think you're going to keep up with inflation? No, you're just going to go behind just a little bit slower. Because, you know, if they had to pay the senior citizens and those people with the indexed treasury bills, the higher rate, we'd be talking of hundreds of billions of dollars a year. So you go ahead with the story there.
You make a couple of really good points. This idea of hedonic factor in calculating core inflation is, as you point out, a term that really has no objective meaning, but it's used as disguise for all kinds of semantic mischief. And the way that they calculate the core inflation rate is by taking out of the inflation calculations, we're talking about price inflation here, not monetary inflation, price inflation being the consequence of monetary inflation. Monetary inflation is created by the government. Price inflation is how we feel it in terms of the devaluation of the currency the government issues through the Federal Reserve, or better put, the currency which is issued by this quasi-private concern called the Federal Reserve on behalf of government. But they subtract from the core inflation rate those things without which we cannot live, meaning food and energy. And this means that the core inflation rate is of no practical use to anybody, but of immense use to those who rule us in terms of keeping us in a state of ignorance over what they're doing to the value of our money. And hedonics is one of these expressions, one of these terms of art, which are used to cover up the fundamental dishonesty of the people that are running this outfit. But the thing that I find interesting when you bring up the issue of core inflation and the way that it's calculated is that now there's a discussion going on in what you might call the secular press. That is to say, the so-called mainstream media, those organs which are respectable because they, for the most part, simply retail what they're being given wholesale from the government. On CNN, there was a wonderful discussion. By wonderful, I mean it was amazing. It was a wonder of nature that it would take place on CNN about the forthcoming depression. We're heading for an inflationary depression. We're in the early phase of the same. And, of course, one expression you could use to describe an inflationary depression is stagflation, where you have stagnant growth coupled with the monetary and price inflation, and that's what we were dealing with in the early 1980s and the late 1970s, and it was wrung out of the economy by the Federal Reserve through a very austere monetary policy that was very much reversed by Alan Greenspan. But the thing is, this is a discussion taking place on CNN now, and one of the truisms of investment and financial analysis, market analysis, that I happen to think is a reliable piece of wisdom is that by the time something's being discussed in the open media, things have already been set in motion, the train's already left the station, and it should be something that people would have anticipated. Those who were the sharper analysts of the market and financial development should have anticipated those developments by the time they're being talked about on television or read about in the mainstream media. So when CNN goes to the extent of saying that we're headed for a depression, an inflationary depression, we can pretty much confide in the notion that we're already in the opening phase of the same.
I agree with you totally, and I think that that's so important that people have to understand that we are never told what's going to happen until it's too late for us to profit from it.
Well, that's the point of my most recent blog essay at Pro Libertate, my daily blog. The title of it is Prepare to Panic, and the phrase is taken from what I consider to be one of our much-neglected cultural treasures and repositories of wisdom, the 1960s spy spoof television series Get Smart. There was an episode in which Maxwell Smart, the titular hero of Get Smart, and 99, his sidekick, were on a submarine abducted by their arch-nemesis from Chaos, Siegfried, and the sub was under attack by a U.S. Navy destroyer, and Max and 99 are trying to convince Siegfried that his men are going to panic and it's time to surrender. And Siegfried says, "My men are highly trained. They will not panic until I give the order to panic." And just then a depth charge goes off that rattles the sub, and Siegfried exclaims, "Prepare to panic." Well, that's more or less where we should be right now. By the time we're given permission to panic, it will be too late. And so by panicking, I'm talking about a type of rational fear and rational action. We should be galvanized, for instance, to do things which our government is not really telling us to do and not implicitly giving us permission to do. One of those things is to get out of debt. It's expected, for instance, that when we get our so-called stimulus check from the government in a number of weeks, we're going to blow it on consumer items, thereby keeping the consumer economy afloat, rather than using this to help pay down debts, which should be our highest priority. Or, if we're able to pay down debts and remain liquid, using that money, perhaps, and other funds that we have to invest in actual tangible wealth in the form of real money, gold and silver, or real wealth in terms of food storage, which would be a good thing to have on hand in the event of price spikes or sudden shortages if we have runs on certain commodities because of the anticipation of a forthcoming price surge. These are all things we can do in order to minimize our exposure here at the beginning phase of what will prove to be, I'm confident, an inflationary depression. Simply reining in our lifestyle, working out of our lifestyle and out of our budgets, all those things that are expenditures that we can do without, recalibrating our priorities in ways that are not so materialistic, perhaps clustering together with families and friends, people who To paraphrase that that line from A Clean, Well-Lighted Place, that wonderful short story by Hemingway, I believe it was, you know, a place where they have to take you in. Each of us needs a place of that sort. That's how home was defined in that short story. We need to seek out kith and kin, minimize our expenditures, do away with our debts. We need to be thinking in terms of how we're going to provide for ourselves in a situation where we're going to start feeling at long last the long-deferred consequences of imperial foreign policy and profligate Keynesian socialism. It's coming, and it's, as a matter of fact, it's already begun.
Well, I think it's only a matter of time before this eventually affects everybody. I've just finished reading this wonderful book called Greenspan's Bubble. It's written by an economist. And the closing statement in this book is the fact that the crisis that has been created by Alan Greenspan is going to affect every person living in the United States today. Paraphrasing it, I think that's really very true. People don't understand that even if they perhaps have a government job, what could be more secure than that? What happens when government doesn't have enough money to pay all of its employees? What happens when the government doesn't have enough money to pay into the pension fund and the government goes bankrupt and then can certainly forego its payment into the pension fund, and all these people who are already retired and think they're going to be able to retire after working 20 years and living like kings off of the public funding are going to find out that everything has changed, and I believe that everything is going to change in the very near future, don't you?
Oh, very much so. And you should point out, and we should point out, this is something I think we talked about before, Dr. Stan, there are local government, local school district pension funds that are already going belly up, that are already starting to feel the consequences of the unwinding now of the debt bubble and the derivatives therefrom, how a lot of these pension funds were invested in these really dubious instruments that were generated during the last 5 or 6 years of pornographically creative financial manipulation. And as a result, they don't have the funds to pay the pensions. And the people who are, if you will, graduating out of their government sinecures into government-funded retirements are finding out that those funds aren't there. And they're going to live, instead of like the aristocrats that they expected to be, they're going to have to live like the hoi polloi, like the rest of us. And they don't like that much. And there are going to be a lot of social pressures that are going to result at the local level. The governments at the local level, as I pointed out before, are going to become downright predatory in terms of enforcing all kinds of measures to start wringing revenue out of people in order to make up for the shortfalls that are going to result. And that's going to become very unpleasant very quickly.
And I'm sure you're absolutely right, and I think it's just a matter of time. And really, but this is not something that localized to the United States. It involves whole world.
Yeah, we're talking about a global catastrophe because we've been exporting, I'm referring to the government in Washington and the Federal Reserve, have been exporting inflation now since the end of the Bretton Woods system. And as a result, everybody who's been involved in buying up the debts and all the central banks that have been working, if you will, collaterally to monetize the debts of our government, they're going to feel the impact. It's already being felt in places like England, in Germany, in Spain, and in Italy. Germany is basically one or two bank failures away from a cascade of defaults in that system that could lead them into a whole-scale banking-driven depression of the sort that they started to feel in the 1920s, and really ugly things happened in the 1920s in Germany, the hyperinflation of 1923, and that set into motion all kinds of ugly developments in their political realm. It would behoove us, for those who've got sort of an intellectual bent, to look into the history of what happened in Weimar Germany during their hyperinflation, what happened in Russia during the hyperinflation just after the Bolshevik putsch, and to see what happens to a country. Or for that matter, take a look at what's going on in Zimbabwe right now. What happens to a country when their fiat currencies descend to their real level of value, which is nothing, and the social consequences therefrom? There are lessons, unfortunately, that would be immediately applicable to our immediate future in those tragedies.
Well, we see this taking place all over the world. We see in South Africa, where, of course, with the government there, really a Marxist government that really doesn't plan things very efficiently.
Of course not.
So they don't have enough electricity. Well, now, one of the major sources of income is their mining, but they don't have enough electricity to run the mines more than 80% of the time. And then with the rising inflation rate, You know, and of course with Marxists increasingly taking control of the government and rigged elections, it's only a matter of time before South Africa follows Zimbabwe into an economic and political crisis. We'll be back in just a moment here with William Greig.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is William Greig. We're talking about what's going on financially. And what you have to understand is that banks throughout the world bought these collateralized debt obligations, these asset-backed securities, these structured investment vehicles that are out there. And so many of the banks really throughout the world are facing insolvency. In other words, they do not have any money. It's said that if Citigroup, the largest bank in the United States, were to actually be put up for sale today, why, of course, the stockholders wouldn't have any money because there wouldn't be anything left there. They have lost so much money. They lost, I don't know, $6.5 billion in 2006, and I think something like $18 billion last year, and they're going to lose even more this year and more the next year. And this is not a matter of liquidity. It's a matter of solvency. Our banks are becoming insolvent because they have to have a fair amount of money as the basis upon which they have their loans, and when they do not have that money, why, the whole house of cards begins to tumble down, and this is what I see happening. How about you, William?
Oh, obviously, that's what's happening. I think you're very astute in describing in such a brief and encapsulated form what's happening to the benefit of people who really don't understand that the banks, or the institutions we call banks, do not have a physical repository of money that would be equivalent to their obligations. I mean, every fractional reserve bank is insolvent. By strict definition, they only have a fraction of what they have in terms of obligations. Their obligations are considered to be assets. And just today, we saw where Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke was opening up the auction window to release another tranche of $200 billion, or what they're pleased to call dollars, in order to keep the bank solvent. And just a week ago, Bernanke was testifying before Congress, and in a manner that was just shockingly blithe, matter-of-factly, as if saying, well, we're going to be having ravioli for dinner tonight, Bernanke said, quote, there will probably be some bank failures. Now, this is a person who is at the top of the pinnacle of this entire political and economic machine. His every syllable falls from an Olympian height and can crush people here on planet Earth very thoughtlessly. The facial expressions, the timbre of his voice, all these things are studied diligently by the investment community for hints and intimations as to the health of the economy. And when he can say very matter-of-factly that there are going to be bank failures, what we can anticipate is that there will be a lot of bank failures, and some major banks, some major financial institutions are going to be among the casualties. I honestly believe that Citigroup is going to perish this year. He was rescued by a consortium of Arab investors last fall. It includes, includes two sovereign wealth funds, one of them run by the Kuwaiti government and the other run by, I believe, Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, and also a major Saudi investor who's very, very much involved in trying to prop up Wall Street. His name is Sheikh Alawid. But these Arab investors just this week made it clear that they don't think that Citi is a good investment. They're having buyer's remorse. Citi has been looked to as something of a backstop for many of the major banks that are facing insolvency. For instance, when Britain's Northern Rock Bank started suffering the pangs of impending demise last September, they went to the Bank of England and sought for assistance. That news leaked out. The reason why Northern Rock went to the Bank of England for help was to prevent a bank run, and they precipitated a bank run by making this request and having the request leaked to the public, as it inevitably would be. Northern Rock lost something like $4 billion of its assets over the course of a weekend because people went to withdraw their money. But when the rescue attempt was made, when there was an effort to create some kind of a rescue coalition to bail out Northern Rock, Citi was always in the mix. They were going to be bailing out Northern Rock, which was the fifth largest mortgage lender in Great Britain. Well, as it turns out, Citi's not in a position to help anybody because, according to the people from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, who are trying to save Citi, Citi is not salvageable right now. And so I believe that probably sometime later this year, perhaps late summer, early fall, which is when a lot of bad things start to happen in late September, early October, when balance sheets have to be reckoned with, I think Citi is going to become non-compos mentis, and that's a Titanic-sized institution. And if it goes down, the vortex that it's going to create, I think, is going to pull down a lot of institutions in its wake, not just here, but overseas, because they're all completely interdependent.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with William Greig. And ladies and gentlemen, prepare any way that you can for the difficult times that lie ahead. You're going to have to get out of debt. You're going to have to change your buying patterns. Do not buy something that you do not absolutely need. Use that money to pay off your debt or to invest in something that will have permanence when the whole house of cards comes tumbling down.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Honey, I'll be right back.
Brittany, your husband looks so good tonight. I just worry about his high blood pressure. He gets uptight so easily.
I know. My Gary has high blood pressure and high cholesterol. I always think about the what if.
Yeah.
Ladies, you need to get your husband's Cocoa Pure chocolate tea.
Chocolate tea?
That sounds delicious.
The information is all over the news. Cocoa without the high fat and an extract from red wine are both shown to have heart benefits, including supporting healthy blood pressure and cholesterol levels.
See, I told you chocolate was good for us.
To try Cocoa Pure risk-free, call 1-800-457-9914. Cocoa Pure contains a red wine extract and pure cocoa, and is natural and healthy for anyone. Cocoa Pure is especially recommended for those with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or a family history of heart disease. Call now for your delicious risk-free trial. Call 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is William Grieg. But before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your blog spot, how they can get your book.
Well, first of all, I have to commend you, Dr. Stan, because you've been beyond exemplary in your patience with me in trying to get you a supply of my book. And I'm doing my level best to get it into your hands because I would like it to be available through Radio Liberty to your listeners. In order to get the book right now, the book is entitled Liberty and Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. It's necessary to go to The Right Source, which is a news site published by the Welch Foundation, with which I'm associated in the capacity of editor-at-large. The URL or web address for The Right Source is www.rightsourceonline.com. That's one word, rightsourceonline.com. And at the top of the home page of The Right Source, there is a banner ad for Liberty and Eclipse, and you click through and you can order directly from the website. And Liberty and Eclipse is intended to be part overview, part expose of what has happened in terms of creating, in real time, the rudiments of a totalitarian garrison state. We don't have yet a fully functioning police state, as is commonly referred to. in our society. But we have, in principle, everything that is needed in order to create the same. And on occasion, and those occasions are coming much more frequently, we see the malignancy of the police state in its full and reprehensible flower. It's becoming very common now, thanks in large measure to Samizdat, such as YouTube and the other internet video sharing sites, to see examples of incredible, egregious abuse of power by law enforcement officials who are behaving as if they are part of an army of occupation. Well, in my book, I point out and document that what has happened over the last 2.5 or 3 decades, and that has been catalyzed by the so-called war on terror, is the transformation of our law enforcement system, which had once been decentralized and locally accountable, into an army of occupation. We no longer have a corps of peace officers who are part of the communities they live in, for the most part, and who are answerable exclusively to those communities. We have local affiliates of a centralized, militarized homeland security apparatus, and I also discuss such issues as the aggrandizement of the executive branch, how the president now is considered a law to himself, our living constitution, if you will, how at the whim of the president, American citizens can be denied semblance of the due process guarantees and individual rights that we are supposedly guaranteed through the Bill of Rights, and how common law protections of our individual liberties that are as old as Runnymede, as old as the Magna Carta of 1215, have been set aside, most notably the one fundamental, indispensable guarantee of rights, that is the habeas corpus guarantee. These have all been set aside, and we're going to find out, as times grow tougher economically, and as our government becomes less and less accountable and more overtly arrogant, that the precedents and policies which have been set in place under the Bush administration are going to lead in the direction of a totalitarian hell. And I think that is something that we can reverse. That's why I chose the image, the metaphor of an eclipse. An eclipse is a temporary phenomenon. The sky grows dark at the wrong hour of the day, and it grows more deeply dark until you have darkness at noonday, and then it starts to subside. Well, if we're going to reverse this eclipse, this is not something unlike every other eclipse I'm aware of that would simply reverse itself. We're going to have to be the ones who do it. Now, the good news, ironically enough, is that the economic times we're entering, although they'll be unpleasant and they will be difficult for all of us, and economic reverses of this sort can lead to outright despotism, as they have on many occasions, if the government manages somehow to run out of money and the allegiance of the mercenaries it has hired to do its bidding is no longer something that can be bought, because the government simply doesn't have any way of expanding its credit line in order to pay these people, then maybe we can bring about a reversal of what's going on. Maybe we can decentralize power and thereby detoxify our politics. But in order to do this, it's going to require a great deal of work and no little amount of sacrifice. And also, if you go to the RightSource website, www.rightsourceonline.com, you can find my daily blog, which is entitled Pro Libertate. I publish new essays on that blog between 3 and 5 times a week, as my schedule permits. And the purpose of that blog is twofold. The first of which, quite frankly, is to make people very, very mad by highlighting, italicizing, holding up to inspection some of the most recent and most poignant abuses of individual rights by our government at all levels. Occasionally I will delve into historical examples as well, but I'm always doing this by way, when I go into the history of a given subject, I'm doing this by way of trying to underscore things that are happening right now that people should be angry about. And the second purpose of this is not only to infuriate people, but hopefully to motivate people to do something about what we're seeing happening to our country. I know that, like myself, you have a marrow deep love of this country, and many people who comment on various postings on my blog, there's a very lively commentary thread after every essay. Many of them, who are people of sound mind and sober conscience, are talking about the wisdom of finding some other place to live until the storm subsides and America returns to normalcy. Tempting as that might be for some people, I couldn't do it. And I do not mean to denigrate or to second-guess anybody who's taken that choice, who's acting on that choice. I know some people, for instance, of a very sound mind who are finding on going to Argentina in order to weather out the storm. The problem is, I don't want them, by them, I'm referring to the people, our rulers, who are destroying our country, I don't want them to have my country unopposed. You know, I'm not going to surrender the battlefield to the people who are trying to steal our country and very successfully stolen our country. I want to take it back. And I know that there are many millions of people who have the same attitude about our country. I am organically tied to this country. I have a chromosome-level passion for this country. As much as I despise the government that rules us, I love our country more. And I hope that I'm doing something within my admittedly limited sphere of influence to reach out to people who have the same attitude about our country and the same sense of infuriated frustration about what's going on, and to try to catalyze their will to do something about taking back the country that's been stolen from us.
Well, I think along that same line, people think that they're going to be safe in Argentina, but believe me, with the electronic system we have today worldwide, they will know where everybody in
sure.
the entire world lives, what your name is, what your history is. They will have your picture. They've gone around to the various state departments of motor vehicles and, by deceptive techniques, gotten your picture that you thought was on your supposedly for your driver's license. But they have that. They know all about you. They're collecting dossiers on every American citizen. You move to another country, don't think that they want you. They won't come after you. So there really is no place that's safe. The
yeah.
battle is here. The battle is for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And I agree with you, William. We have an obligation to stay. Those who want to leave can leave. But those who really care for America have the obligation to stay as long as we can. And if we have to, we will die here.
It's really an interesting state of affairs we're in right now, where there really is no place to go. It was said back in the days of Caesar Augustus that really there was no place on earth you could be secure from Caesar's wrath. But he didn't have the means of collecting the type of detailed, all-encompassing information you just described, Dr. Stan. And just today there was a headline about how, without giving notice or advance warning, the federal government now has the means to have one click of a mouse access to practically anything it needs to know about anybody who's ever been to our country. How they've collated all these databases into one vast, immediately accessible mega dossier, and how they can have almost instantaneously access to any information they need about any person who's come to their attention. So if they have that type of access, and they do, and if they're able to collect it coming or going from this country, which they can, and if they have these interactive sharing agreements to exchange information with practically every government on earth of any consequence, which of course does exist, why not fight them here rather than trying to live abroad and wait for the storm to subside? As far as I'm concerned, I can understand the desire. I can wholeheartedly identify with good friends of mine who've left for various places in the Caribbean or Latin America. But as far as I'm concerned, there's no tactical advantage to doing so, as much as I respect them and respect their reasons for doing what they're doing. And as far as I'm concerned, once again, my feet are planted here, and this is where I stand. Here I stand. I could do no other. God help me. Amen.
Well, of course, that old saying, you know, a coward dies a thousand deaths, but a brave man dies but once.
Yeah.
And our job is to do the best we can. And, of course, the thing is that they have facial recognition technology, so that if you were to change your appearance, they would still be able to determine who you were. They could analyze your walk. They're
yeah.
able to tell through your walk. They could analyze your voice. They're collecting information. They have everybody's thumbprint. If you gave it to the state, you know, thinking that it would be safe when you got your driver's license,
yeah.
ladies and gentlemen, they have long-range planning. These people think, you know, not in terms of days or weeks or months, but really of decades. And they've known exactly what they're doing. They're making their plans. And, the one thing that could defeat them is the collapse of this economic system. And I agree mm-hmm. with you, William. As horrible as it is to contemplate what the future holds, it may be the only hope for America if this whole financial house of cards comes down, because the inflation that we've been exporting throughout the rest of the world is beginning to have its toll, and they have inflation over in Saudi Arabia and in the Arab states,
yeah.
and they're going to have to raise the value of their currency, which of course will rise the price of oil for us, but they're going to, all throughout the world, the countries are beginning to have to raise the value of their currency, which is going to slow down the whole world economic system as well. But if they do not, their currencies will collapse into chaos, as ours will when we lose the reserve status of the American dollar. and all those dollars, probably close to $3 trillion across the whole world, come cascading back into America and simply wreck our economic system. And I think before they'll allow that to happen, they'll put on exchange controls. So if you want to get any money out of the country, you better get it out right now, because you know, you will never know. You'll wake up one morning to find out what they've done. They've, you know, and whether it would be opening the safety deposit boxes or whether it would be preventing you from getting money out of the country. Believe me, they have their plans. They know what's going to happen, but they're not going to let us know until it's too late.
That's why we can't wait for permission to panic. I mean, at some point, by the way, they'll give us permission to panic about the wrong issues. They will contrive a panic, and they will misdirect us by finding some tertiary, peripheral, insignificant, or completely fabricated cause to panic, while, of course, on the other side of the equation, you have things that are perfectly rational reasons for alarm. I mean, there is a certain type of rational alarmism. That's what we're talking about here. Panic is perhaps the wrong word. Panic refers to an irrational state. But we're talking about concerted action based on an intelligent and rational assessment of what's going on right now. And the intelligent and rational thing right now is to prepare for a collapse and not to fall for the deception here that the government's going to be able to spend its way out of our predicament, because that's how we got into the predicament. You're not going to be able to cast out Beelzebub by Beelzebub's power. And talking about rational panic, you're probably aware of the work of John Williams, not the pseudo-classical music composer and former conductor of the Boston Pops. He's this John Williams I'm referring to is the keeper of the U.S. government shadow statistics website. He says the following thing: if not for systemic intervention and manipulations by the Federal Reserve, it appears we might be contemplating a collapsed U.S. banking system already and the looming deflationary Great Depression that could have dwarfed the bad times of the 1930s. Such as the good news. That's the good news from John Williams' perspective. The bad news is that with those same systemic interventions, the Fed is locking in a hyperinflationary Great Depression in the decade ahead, with the turmoil possibly breaking by 2010 or earlier. That's the fellow who is sort of the keeper of the keys of the kingdom of all these statistics that the United States government and its cronies around the world don't want us to have access to. He's run the math. He's crunched the numbers. He's a supremely rational man. He basically has the capacity of alarm of an android. This is a guy who's very calm and rational. What he's saying is that no later than 2010, we're going to have an hyperinflationary Great Depression, which means that we have to get ready for it right now. And as you say, Dr. Stan, there could be the germ of ironic good news here if people manage to keep the perspective they have to have, which is that these maladjustments, maladministrations, malinvestments, all of this has to be worked out of the system. It's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot. It's going to be terrible. But if we allow ourselves, if we do not allow ourselves, rather, to be stampeded by the people who are trying to use this as a way of fortifying the power of the people who have wrought this catastrophe, we could actually come out stronger and freer at the end of this. And so that's the perspective we have to keep in mind. Those are the principles that we have to keep in mind. You know, something that goes up has to come down. Something that is counterfeited simply has to be dispensed with. Illusions have to be dispelled. You always talk about how it's reality, not illusion, that will set people free. That instrument of debt called a dollar is based on an illusion. You can call it a delusion. And at some point, the delusion has to dissipate. And in order, if we're going to be free, we're going to have to pay the price in turmoil, in privation, in discipline, in austerity, in social turmoil, in order to come out on the other side of this impending horrible prospect of a freer and stronger nation than we were. And, you know, with God's grace, we can get there. But whether or not we get there, that's what's heading for us.
Well, I think that maybe we ought to give that website once again, Mr. Williams' website, because it's shadowstatistics, is it .com?
Shadowstats.com. Shadowstats.com.
Because, of course, he calculates the real level of inflation. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but he calculates what M3 is now. The government says that they just don't know how to do this anymore. It's too expensive, or it really has no consequence. But M3 has to do with the amount of total money in circulation plus the amount of credit that's available out there, and the rate of increase foreshadows the coming rate of inflation. And of course, it's running about 16% right now.
Oh,
I think it's down a little bit from it was 17%. It's down to 16%.
Well, to the spike again.
Right.
We're seeing them opening up the discount window and creating all these other means of getting the so-called money into the system. And I remember when they decided, I believe it was in late 2005, the announcement was made that they were going to stop publishing M3 figures. I said, well, obviously they're not going to be concealing their monetary discipline and austerity. I mean, the reason why they're doing this is because they don't want people to know what they're up to in terms of the aggressive devaluation of what they call the dollar. And we're once again, take a look at the dollar's relentless decline against the other competing fiat currency, the euro. I mean, there are other fiat currencies in the world. I can't think of any of them that are non-fiat currencies, but the other one that's really contending right now for primacy as the world's reserve currency is the euro. It's a fiat currency issued by a socialist megastate, and it's consistently beating the stuffing out of the dollar because of what we're talking about right now.
Well, I think it's only a matter of time before the whole house of cards does come tumbling down. We hate to be the bearer of bad news, but chances are most of the things that you think you put aside for your retirement just are not going to be there. But do whatever you need to do to get yourself into the best financial shape you can and get out of debt. Because, of course, if you're not, why, you could very well lose your home and your car, and you may very well lose your job before this whole thing is over. William, Greg, thank you so very much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you this evening. We can discuss the same things when you're with us at 9 o'clock Pacific time. God bless. Thanks so very much. Bye-bye.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the 2-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth. I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly I hope you enjoyed my conversation with William Grigg. I certainly one of the most insightful people we have out there, and a great patriot, a great American. Well, certainly If you'd like to really understand what's going on, now we do have copies of Ed Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. We've just got it. It's back in print, and I think we sold 20 of them this last weekend. It's the best single book out there on what's happening. If you'd like to hear my talk on the financial tsunami, and it will give you a great overview of what's happening financially. There's a DVD, The Financial Tsunami, and, of course, you can get that along with the syllabus so that you can really understand all these terms, M1, M2, M3, what inflation is, what's really happening. Remember, inflation is not rising prices. That's what they want you to think. Inflation is the increase in the money supply, and they're just creating money out of nothing, and the rising prices are a indirect result of that. It's like wet streets don't cause rain. Rain causes wet streets, and of course rising, increasing the price of the amount of money in circulation is what creates inflation. So understand these terms. That's why my talk, Financial Tsunami, is so important, and the DVD. And then, of course, we carry the books, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton. And we carry two of his other books. One is Gold for Investment, the other is Gold for Survival, all by Professor Sutton. And then, of course, the little book, Fiat Money, Inflation in France, and those books. And watching the DVD, and you'll know more about the monetary situation than most college professors who actually have been schooled in Keynesian economics and in managed economy. And, of course, the managed economy doesn't work. It didn't work in Russia. It's not going to work here in the United States. Understand that the only freedom and a free enterprise system and a free monetary system can allow the people to be free. Control the money while you control the population, which is why, of course, this is a consortium of very powerful people who control our economy. Now, we do have two pamphlets on this. One is The History of Money, and it will give you, of course, quotations from Professor Quigley, The History of Money, and then, of course, the other one is The Financial Meltdown. The pamphlets are only $3.95 each, $3.95 each plus shipping. So get those along with the other items we've mentioned. Understand what's going on and beginning to make your preparations accordingly. Now, if any of you out there would like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, or and if I could suggest, I think our December newsletter is very important. You can read it at RadioLiberty.com, our website, www.RadioLiberty.com. But if you don't have access to the Internet, oh, I would be glad to send you one if you specifically request a copy of the December 2007 Radio Liberty letter. General Ricardo Sanchez's address explaining what's really going on over in Iraq. After you've read it, you want to die. Now, remember, you can go to our website, and you can pull down all of our monthly newsletters. You have our permission to copy them. You can go to our DV section, see all the videos and DVDs we produced without charge. And then, of course, you can listen to our program 9 hours a day on a stream there at our website, which clicks you over to the special site that where you can listen to our programs either live 3 hours a day or certainly archived 9 hours a day. And then, of course, if you'd like to get a free catalog, or if you'd like to get an emergency food catalog and you really need to have emergency food set aside, prices of food are going through the ceilings. The prices of wheat products and rice products and soy products and corn products are all going up. And before long, you're not going to be able to either afford to get them, or there are going to be artificial shortages being created, which they're already doing. So if you want to get your emergency foods, don't put it off. And then, of course, we'll be glad to send you the health product catalog. All of these are available from Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. We'll be right back.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Lynn Marzulli, L.A. Marzulli, and we're going to be talking about his book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. And a lot of people are going to say, well, what is politics have to do with prophecy, and what does prophecy have to do with the supernatural? Well, it has a great deal to do with it. It's a very important book, which we commend to you. But today we're going to talk about prophecy, and perhaps that ties into, or how that ties into, the supernatural. Lynn, are you there?
I certainly am, Dr. Stan. Thanks for having me back on. Appreciate it.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk a little bit about, of course, the ideas of prophecy. There's a great deal in the Bible about prophecy. And, of course, there's a great deal in Ezekiel 38 and 39 talking about a coming war against Israel, against the unwalled cities of Israel. And Israel's always had, you know, certainly in ancient times, cities had walls, but we never had cities without walls until recently. But you pick up the story of Ezekiel 38 and 39 and how this may very well fit into what's unfolding today.
Yeah, what's happened in the last 24 hours or 48 hours over in Israel is just unbelievable.
Well, tell us what happened over there.
Well, I'm actually looking at it on a Drudge Report, but when it came through, I read a bunch of different stories on it. Apparently, it was a Palestinian gunman who had access to an AK-47 that he disguised in a box, and then when he got to a yeshiva, and yeshiva is a Jewish Bible school essentially, he opened fire, and I think eight people were killed, cut down, and then there's lots of wounded. Finally, he was hit. When he came out of the building, he was gunned down by IDF forces. So what's interesting here is, and this is what the American press, you know, really doesn't show, and most Americans really don't have a clue as to what's going on. This all stems from the fact that during the Six-Day War, when Israel, well, first of all, let's even go back further. In 1948, when Israel becomes a nation, it's called the Day of Catastrophe by the Arabs and the Muslims. In other words, the fact that Israel now becomes a nation and surrounded by her Muslim by Muslim nations, this, of course, is a utter catastrophe. And that's why we get the rants of someone like the Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, saying Israel irradiated. This is as recent as like 2 weeks ago. So we can see that there's lots of vitriol. The fact that just that Israel exists is enough to cause great anger in the Muslim world. And what we see now is during the Six-Day War, when they took Gaza and the Golan Heights and the West Bank, when Israel did, and began to occupy those territories. Now, they've always, the Arabs go, or the Muslims go, you know, land for peace, land for peace, land for peace. So the Israelis finally do it. They finally give them back Gaza. The moment they do that, within 24 hours, the rockets are coming over, the Katyusha rockets are coming over the border from Gaza into Israel, and not necessarily killing people, but causing damage, or in some cases, killing people. Well, the Russians pick up mops throughout the Fatah fighting, and I hear the bumping, but I'll pick it up.
All right. Bible basically as really what is happening. Hamas is using God as a staging ground for this. But there's rocket and then rocket attacks on the same place. Israel and Israel, there's problems throughout. And there, of course, there used to be a battle across 27,000 and it's got about 9,000. Oh, there's a big type of aid. I'm going to take some of this. And the production facilities there, the factories that have it closed down. It's a total chaotic situation. A lot of outside pressure from the United States forcing Israel to give up Gaza, land for peace. Well, they give up land, and there is no peace. We're going to be back in just a moment with Lynn and develop these ideas. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Lynn Marzulli, and we're going to be talking about his book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. And Lynn was simply talking about within the last 24 hours or so, 24 to 48 hours, some Arab terrorist had gone into sort of a Jewish school over there and gunned down 8 people, and how many others he wounded, we don't know. But there's never going to be peace in the Holy Land. Talk on all you want to. Our politicians keep talking about peace, peace. But at the same time, we are actually arming a Fatah, which is the Palestinian terrorist organization, which is working, although supposedly at odds with Hamas, is really actually transferring money and weapons to Hamas, and certainly both Fatah and Hamas will attack Israel when the time comes. You pick up the story there, Lynn.
Well, it's just a question. It's just a matter of time. In fact, I was reading an intelligence report, an Israeli intelligence report, where they actually have scenarios where, and of course, you know, this is what good governments will do, especially, and the Israelis have to, because they're completely surrounded by hostile neighbors. And the scenario is, you know, what if the rocket, let's say the Qassam rocket, coming from Gaza, hits a school, and, you know, maybe 10, 12, 20 kids are killed. The Israelis retaliate, which then escalates, and Hezbollah jumps in, and then Syria jumps in, and the Israelis literally have different war scenarios like this, which they are trying to figure out what are their options. Getting back on point, the 8 people who were killed, Hamas is literally dancing in the street, literally, you know, firing guns up in the air. It's like a cause of celebration. So what we see is, instead of land for peace, we don't, as you mentioned, Dr. Stan, we don't see that at all. What we see is more vitriol. You know, like I mentioned, the moment within 24 hours, and I had that documented, that the Israelis pulled out of Gaza, you know, the Katyusha rockets started to fly across the border. So it's not, they could give up, if they give up the Golan, which is very strategic, northern part of the country and borders Lebanon, Syria with Israel, if they give up the Golan Heights, they really give up the high ground. There's no way they can do it. It'd be national suicide. And so what we see is Nasrallah in Lebanon has threatened an all-out war. Hamas, the same thing. Ahmadinejad and threatening that Israel is a cancer soon to be irradiated. And, of course, you know, Syria is in bed with everybody. So this may be setting the stage for what I believe is the fulfillment of the Ezekiel 38-39 war. Hence, the political landscape is shaping up the possible fulfillment of the prophetic, specifically Ezekiel 38-39, which I believe then will trigger supernatural events. And when Jesus says himself that even the elect would be deceived, men fainting from fear of things coming on the earth.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Eli Marzulli. His book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. And Sydney, we're talking about what's going on in Israel today with a terrorist murder of 8 students there in Israel. What most people don't understand is that our American government knows exactly what's going on. In fact, they've stationed 2 warships, 2 major warships off the coast of Lebanon in anticipating of the coming war. Now, we're not going to tell the American people about that. You're supposed to be fat, dumb, and happy, and really more concerned about what's happening in the Lipstick Jungle, the new serial that's now on NBC. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, what is actually transpiring over in the Middle East and the Near East. But these incidents, the coming conflict is going to impact on everybody listening to this program today, because I agree with Lynn. I believe we're seeing the fulfillment of the times that are described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Nothing, and of course, when we talk about that, they talk about things that could very well be interpreted as the United States coming under terrible, terrible attack. Would you pick up the story there, Lynn? I'd like to get your
take
on it.
Dr. Stan, thank you. I believe that the political stage is being set for the players to then come on, and those players are now actually being, you know, put on the stage. Specifically, Iran has talked about, and the cohorts of Muslim countries surrounding Israel, and of course we know that Russia and Iran are in bed together. The Ruskies have sold Iranians a lot of new technology, specifically missiles that are now capable of hitting Tel Aviv, and the Russians can come down and actually arm those missiles very quickly with nuclear warheads. So, you know, the thing about biblical prophecy is it's 100% accurate 100% of the time, and it has great specificity to where, let's say, people like Nostradamus, and of course the History Channel is constantly throwing us Nostradamus and telling us how great he is. Well, he's not even close. Like, you know, when he prophesies, let's say, Hitler, it's Hister, which actually is a geographical area in the Rhine. So, I mean, he's completely off on these things, whereas the Bible is very, very specific. It lists a group of nations which will come up against the land of unwalled villages in the latter days. And it says very specifically, in the latter days, in the end days, end times. And it also, of course, has that very enigmatic phrase, which 2,500 years ago in the ancient world just did not exist, a land of unwalled villages. That term, if we're reading the translation right, and I believe we are because I've checked that over a lot of different translations, a land of unwalled villages just was completely unheard of. And, of course, that's the modern world. We live in, we don't build fortresses anymore like they did in medieval times or 2,500 years ago. We have airplanes, and so it renders a land or a fortress basically null and void. It renders it moot, if I can use that word. So what we see is Ezekiel 38:39, the possible fulfillment of that prophecy, and it's happening like right now. I mean, it seems to be ramping up. I'm kind of on the edge of my seat, not like at a baseball game, but actually with horror, with a sense of depression almost, because these things that are written about, if we are in the time that the Bible speaks of, and if we're seeing the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38:39, this is going to be absolutely horrific. I mean, just horrific. It's going to make World War II, or it's going to lean towards the Nagasaki Hiroshima type scenario, where the pictures of just total devastation, and of course we'll see all those things. And unfortunately, my scenario is this will trigger. In other words, the political stage is being set. The players have now come on the stage. Mention the players. Which then will fulfill this ancient prophecy. Once the prophecy is fulfilled, I believe it will trigger supernatural events that specifically talked about by Jesus himself, and of course in 2 Thessalonians, when it says very specifically that Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders. And, you know, the church is asleep in these things. We don't like to travel in these things, especially in the West, in the age of reason. It's just like, well, the supernatural really doesn't exist, or those supernatural things in the Bible, these people were ignorant, and they were just, you know, camel jockeys. They had no idea about anything, and it really wasn't supernatural events. And of course, if we throw supernatural events out of the Bible, most of it's gone. You know, I believe that Moses literally parted the Red Sea. I believe that Jesus literally walked on water, broke bread and fed 5,000, healed the 10 lepers, gave sight to the blind, opened the hearing of the deaf, made the mute speak. I believe that. Changed water into wine. Rose again from the third day. All of those things that I just mentioned are miraculous. There's an author who's actually a Presbyterian minister. His name is Barry Gooding Jr. And he believes, and this is what I call in my book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, I call this the alien gospel. Barry Gooding Jr. believes that all of the supernatural events recorded not only in the Bible, but in other religious books, are all caused by direct intervention from extraterrestrial activity, or extraterrestrial entities, I should say. And at some point in time, these fathers or progenitors of our race will reveal themselves and show us who they are and how they try to elevate our consciousness by putting, like, Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad, all these different avatars and religious figures. In other words, E.T. is responsible for all the great religions of the world. Now, I'm not making this up. This is what a Presbyterian minister literally believes. I've got his book, read his stuff. I quote him in my book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. Literally, it is, in my opinion, the alien gospel. This is what I believe is the coming great deception, which will catch the church unawares, and most people who don't understand what they're looking at will believe the lie. And, of course, that lie is simply this, that the ET extraterrestrials genetically manipulated us 20 or 30,000 years ago, are responsible for our development, and because of all this crazy war and feuding that we have on this planet, specifically religious wars, are now back to set things right. I realize that's a very far-out scenario. What do I have to back it up? Well, my research shows that approximately 5,000 UFO sightings worldwide are reported per year. The person that I interviewed on this, George Filer, believes that another 5,000 go unreported.
But, of course, the thing is, do you really believe that it's the aliens that have done all these things, or do you think they are manifestations of the other dimension, the supernatural dimension, where this battle between God and Satan is being fought?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the whole ruse which they'll come under, or they'll try to perpetrate, of course, is that, you know, we are extraterrestrials and we're from another planet and we seeded you and we'll show you who God really is. And interestingly, when you get into the abduction phenomenon, you talk to people who have allegedly been abducted by the grave or by these so-called aliens, they often come back with the same sort of a tale that, you know, I was shown pictures or holographic scenes of the crucifixion and the resurrection, and they were aliens who were aiding in this. I mean, it mirrors what Barry Gooding Jr. is talking about. So the coming great deception in the Luciferian Endgame is the subtitle of the book. And what I believe is this coming great deception is literally the revealing of extraterrestrial craft, and the people most people will believe in the ruse that these are beings from another planet. And of course, I believe that they are utterly satanic. It has nothing to do with extraterrestrials. It's Satan coming with all signs and lying wonders. And it's just, when you get into it and you realize what their theology is, what some of these abductees hear, what's reported back to them, what some of these entities, for instance, Semyazi from the Billy Meyer book, when you read with Semyazi, who, by the way, this is really an interesting sidebar, and I'll go off on a slight rabbit trail. When I began research on my series Nephilim, and I can really get into it in this book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, there was a link between Semyazi from Billy Meyer, who is allegedly this Pleiadian ET cosmonaut who appears to Billy Meyer and allows Meyer to photograph the ship and actually have communication with Billy. What was interesting about it, the name Semyazi is the same name of the ringleader of the fallen angels that manifest in Mount Hermon thousands of years ago and is recorded in the Book of Enoch. And when I discovered that, I about fell out of my chair. Because, I mean, either it's one of two things. Either Billy has had access to the Dead Sea Scrolls and read the Book of Enoch, which is possible. He certainly could have done that. Or we're looking at an interdimensional being, which is literally 1,000 years old and is remanifesting in these later days. I choose to believe in the latter. I believe it's the same entity, Semyazi, the fallen angel, who came to Earth thousands of years ago and is responsible for the debacle that we see in Genesis 6, specifically sons of God finding the movement of Earth and having sex in union with them and producing in the Nephilim. And the same exact thing is happening today in the abduction phenomena. Women are taken, they are impregnated, the fetuses are then taken from them, usually in the first trimester, and it goes on and on, and it just parallels the things that happened in Genesis 6. But Billy Meir is... When he talks to this alleged Pleiadian cosmonaut, the same name, Semyazi, today, Semyazi thousands of years ago. Semyazi tells Billy who God really is. And it's just amazing. It is absolutely, it's pantheism. When you read the quote, I don't have it in front of me, but when you read the quote, it is nothing more than pantheism, that God is really a force, and he's in everything, and he's part of everything. Well, that's not the God of the Bible.
And of course not. Of course, it's so interesting. If you read The Secret by Rhonda Byrne, she will tell you there in the closing part of this book that sold millions of copies, featured by Oprah Winfrey and by Larry King and the others, she will tell you the truth, and that is that you are God. You have to realize you're God. Well, of course, that is the most absurd thing in the world. Mm. And yet millions of people are being pushed into this by Oprah Winfrey, the power of CBS, that is leading people to their own destruction, into this pantheistic view that is the very antithesis of Christianity.
Very well said. Very well said. And that, of course, is what the ET agenda is. It's the alien gospel. It's interesting. In 2 Thessalonians, it says, God sends them great delusion because they did not believe the truth.
Amen to that. And of course, the thing is that we're living in some of the most exciting times in the world. But as we begin going back and reading Ezekiel 38 and 39, we begin to see everything that was prophesied. What was that? 2,300, 2,400 years ago when Ezekiel was writing? Somewhere in there. All these, I guess it must be 2,600.
Yeah, 2,600 years.
Right. All these things, even these countries, if you know anything about history, you'll see that the very countries that are talked about there, they're all here, and they're all lining up. The alliances haven't changed at all, and I believe we're moving into amazing and prophetic times, and we're going to be talking about that with Lynn as we continue discussing his book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. They all interlock. Well, Lynn, go ahead and pick up the story.
I certainly will. Thank you, Dr. Stan. What I find interesting is that the world just seems to be rushing towards this event, towards this, this basically towards Armageddon. And I realize it sounds like, here we go with the doom and gloom Armageddon stuff. What most people don't understand is Jesus' own words, specifically in Luke 21, also found in Matthew 24, and in Mark 13, Jesus is saying, you know, when you see these things begin to happen, and of course he's referring to the passages that he just talked about, which are wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and signs and great signs in the heavens and, you know, things happening and coming on the earth that will cause such fear that men will faint from things coming on the earth, that even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. Jesus' words then, when you see these things begin to happen, look up. In other words, don't bury your head in the sand. Don't go to Idaho and build a bunker. Don't stockpile food and, you know, huddle down with your AK-47. No, Jesus is saying, look up, because your redemption is coming. In other words, I'm coming back. My return is imminent. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that we are looking at the birth pangs of the beginning of that time that the Bible speaks more of any other, the time of Jacob's trouble, that seven-year tribulation. And I believe we're getting very, very close to it. And I think possibly what may usher that in is the Ezekiel 38-39 war. And of course, you know, I can't stress this enough. I mean, eight yeshiva students were gunned down. I mean, cold blood. I walked in with an AK-47, very similar to the shootings that we have in the United States, the same type of MO. Guy walks in and just starts firing away, and he's finally taken out. The problem is, the difference between cultures in this country, there's just this, you know, everyone takes a collective gasp in horror at this obviously heinous event, this evil deed that a shooter in this country will do. Well, in the Arabs, on the Arab street, in the Muslim world, exactly the opposite. They're literally dancing in Gaza and in southern Lebanon and throughout the Arab world, firing guns up into the air, giving candies to the kids, and telling them that the Jewish pigs and sons of monkeys, which is what Muslims believe Jews are, I'm not making this up, this is right out of the Quran, that Jews are the descendants of pigs and monkeys, that sounds a lot like World War II and Adolf Hitler to me. Once you dehumanize someone, well, who cares if they're killed? And so, you know, this is cause for dancing in the Arab street in the Muslim world, and of course, these things are heating up over there. And it's a question how Israel is going to retaliate next. With Hamas, what's terrifying about this too, which adds another whole dimension to it, stories that I have read, people now believe that elements of Al-Qaeda have gotten into Gaza and are literally operating in Gaza with impunity. They're just, there they are. Also, that a new cache of weapons are coming from Egypt into Gaza. Some of the rockets that were recently fired from Gaza into Israel, apparently they came through from Iran. So it's like Israel was completely surrounded by this hostile, vitriolic state, and they one thought, they want to destroy her. They want to kill every Jew in Israel and totally obliterate Israel. That's what they want to do. And at some point in time, they're going to go through it. There's an interesting part in my book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, which I get into. And I believe it's a two-prong attack. And I believe that again, this whole thing is being engineered. And we can make a case for conspiracies and governments, but it's really a Luciferic hierarchy. There's like Satan himself is like engineering this and pushing the world.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lytton is, of course, talking about what's going on in the Near East, and of course, some people will say it's a conspiracy, but Lynn believes this is all being coordinated by Satan himself, by Lucifer himself, and this attack on Israel. And, of course, I've always felt that the one reason Israel was formed, at least from Lucifer's point of view, and why his agents have supported it, is because he wants to kill as many Jews as he possibly can so he can thwart God's plan. That's always been Lucifer's plan. And that's why they wanted to get as many Jews over there into Israel, because with this coming war, I believe there's going to be a terrible, terrible slaughter. Although I believe that some of the Jews will survive, many of them will survive, not only but God's protection, certainly nothing that they're going to be able to do to protect themselves. So you pick up the story there, Lynn, because Lynn believes the war in the Near East is imminent. How imminent, we don't know, but everything points to the point that everybody is preparing for war, whether it be Hamas, Hezbollah, Syria, Iran, Lebanon. Everybody is preparing for war, even Egypt. Go right ahead.
It's very alarming, and of course, in this country, most people know who the current American Idol runner-up, or as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, you know, the new series, whatever it is, Lipstick Jungle. I mean, this is what the kind of pabulum we're dished up here. And of course, even Fox News now has the Daily Brittany. I mean, instead of the Daily Brittany, why not have the Daily Terror Update in Israel? Why not have that? Why not show what's really going on the planet instead of this ridiculous, absurd reporting about Britney Spears? It's like, who cares? But again, they throw this stuff up, and it makes the American population, it just puts us to sleep. We've got the snooze button on. We actually kind of awakened a little bit during 9/11, and we have gone back to sleep as a nation, and the churches, for the most part, I mean, I'm broad brushing here, and I realize that, but for the most part, the churches are you know, backed off from this thing. But I think what we're looking at is a Luciferic conspiracy. It's a Luciferian endgame. And there are, we can talk about the Masons and the Illuminati and the Trilaterals, and they're all part of that tentacle. You know, the enemy's clever. He's not going to throw all his eggs in one basket. So there are many, many different organizations, and who knows, you know, really who and what is moving behind the scenes. But I believe it, ultimately, it's satanic in origin, and it's moving and pushing and rushing the world towards this one climactic period, because Satan himself literally believes that he can beat God, and that's what this whole thing's about. And the vitriol and the hatred that he has, specifically for God's chosen people, the Jews, is obvious. Just look at World War II and the Holocaust and the 6 million. It was so deliberate by what the Nazis did, so deliberate. Hitler was an adept. Many of the higher echelon of Nazis were adepts. They knew exactly what they were doing. But in politics, prophecy, and the supernatural, I believe it's a two-prong attack. We are called the great Satan, and Israel is the lesser Satan in the radical jihadists and the radical on Muslim streets, specifically in the Middle East. They hate us over here, which is, of course, why, and, you know, we can get the whole thing, 9/11, the conspiracy, I'm aware of all that. But for the sake of this argument, let's say that 9/11 really was, you know, that the guys who hijacked the plane were radical jihadists with a great, great depth of hatred for America and what we stand for in this country and the freedoms. Whether our government used it for a sort of a dialectic, you know, conflict, counter-conflict, and then a synthesis remains to be seen. Ultimately, I go back to the Luciferian idea that the whole thing is being manipulated. But back on point, after 9/11, you would think that our government would close the southern border. It's porous. Like, tons of cocaine come up through there, all the dope, and it's killing our kids. It's killing our kids, and yet the southern border remains totally porous. Last week, they came out with an article saying that this multi-million dollar virtual fence doesn't work. You know, guys, it's like the years are ticking by and the drugs are keep coming up. Not only that, but the 20 million illegal aliens, which are draining the health care system in California and the border states. I mean, it's bankrupting the country. Our government does nothing. It's almost like it's deliberate. But here's the deal. My research, and this is based, I got 25 pages of footnotes at the end of the book, so it's well-researched, and it talks about the fact that Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups may have brought between 2 and 20 suitcase nukes into this country, and they are placed in the cities in this country, and they are waiting the moment, the signal to attack. And when that signal comes, it'll be simultaneous. And I believe it's a two-prong attack. I pray to God I'm wrong on this, Dr. Stan. I don't say this with any glee. I just use, you know, I'm a scout. I'm up on the flag, waving, you know, up on the hill, waving a flag, going, this is what may happen. I believe it's a two-prong attack against the United States and Israel at the same time.
And, of course, there are certain things in prophecies that talk about not only the attack on Israel, but there's the islands to the west. And, of course, it almost sounds like there's going to be some sort of a nuclear attack on those islands to the west. Now, nobody knows what they are, but have you ever contemplated that those might be talking about the United States? Is there anybody who suggests that?
They're very interesting, and the islands to the west is what I believe we may be.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment here. Our guest is Lynn Marzulli, the book Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a supernatural, and of course I think we're witnessing it today, except the church is not telling us what's really going on. Well, this is Dr. Stan Lynn. Go right ahead with your story.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. So I believe that this is a two-prong attack that will happen simultaneously. I believe that the dirty nukes, which are spread throughout this country, I mean, even if it's two, you're looking at two Katrinas happening simultaneously on our shores. If it's more than two, let's say it's ten, and it's, you're looking at Chicago and Houston, maybe Dallas, Los Angeles, certainly a target, New York, Boston, let's say it's that many. I mean, you're looking at crippling this country, martial law being declared, and at the same time, if they hit Israel, what I mean they is the nations that we've talked about earlier, certainly Iran at the lead, backed up by the Russians. And let's face it, you know, Putin is not our friend. I mean, he's not. The Russian, they're just not our friends. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's true. So the idea that this Confederacy of Nations going up against Israel and at the same time hitting us, if I'm right in this, and I pray to God I'm not right in this, but if I am right in this, it is going to be a time unlike any other time. It brings America down a couple of pegs on the world scene, for one. Two, if we're looking at dirty bombs going off in this country, let's say one goes off in Los Angeles, well, what happens to the millions of people in that area? If they're not, some of them would get radiation poisoning, but the problem is you can't go back into that area. Basically, it's like a Chernobyl scenario, and it poisons the entire area around it for centuries, literally. So it's, where are all these people going to go? And you can see, just like one Katrina, that's why I use that as an example, one Katrina displaces hundreds of thousands of people, and it's still not rebuilt, and these people are then dispersed into the country, throughout the country, and it's what do you do? It creates a huge strain on the economy and everything else, and all the resources in that region. Well, what happens if you get two to ten of these things happening simultaneously? It would wipe us out. It would change our life as we know it, and it would change things drastically. What happens when the trucks stop rolling on the highways with the food? What happens when martial law is declared? Now no one knows who to trust at all. Everything must be inspected. It's martial law. Freeways are shut down. There's no fair free trade because, you know, who knows? This thing may have a dirty bomb in it.
Well, of course, you know, the thing is that I think that our government knows what's going to happen. They're actually bringing in the mercenaries, the Blackwater.
I read that today, too. Right.
And they're using them to train our police.
There you go.
To look after the American people. The police were supposed to represent the American people, not be our adversaries. When you bring in mercenaries from Blackwater to train the police in the United States, why, of course, we know that terrible things lie ahead. And where is the outcry from our leaders? You're just not going to hear it. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lynn was just commenting that he had read the article that just came out today, that they're using Blackwater mercenaries. These are professional killers hired by our government, being utilized. They were used in Katrina, going door to door, terrorizing the people there and taking their weapons away from them so they'd have no means of defense. They're being used over there in Iraq, but now they're being used to train the police here in the United States. And if you want to see the article, we'd be glad to provide it, but you can go up on the Internet and simply Google in Blackwater Training Police, USA, and of course you'll find that's really true. But before we go on, Lynn, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get copies of your book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural.
Well, two ways, Dr. Stan. One way is to go online, and it's to the website, and you'll see the landing page where it's got the reviews of the book, and you can order right from there from PayPal. and that's www.spiral, like the spiral staircase or the DNA spiral, double helix spiral, spiralofliferealoflife.com. Or you can call 310-457-5564. That number again, 310-457-5564, and you can get a copy that way.
All right, fine. And it's an excellent book. We recommend that. Well, certainly we're talking about, of course, we're fitting into prophecy. And of course, as you look at the various countries, they talk about so many of the countries that exist today, or certainly if we understand history, we understand who those countries are and who they were 2,500 years ago when the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39 were written, and those countries still exist today. Would you like to get a little into that for us?
I'd love to, Dr. Stan. The idea the first country is Magog, Gog Magog, which most prophecy people believe that it's probably Russia, and that's, I'll throw in my hat in with that interpretation. So let's say, for the sake of our argument or the sake of our discussion today, that it's Russia. The second nation, which is listed, and of course, you know, the first in biblical prophecy, or just in reading the Bible, like the firstborn has more importance than the secondborn. That's just the way the ancient world is. So the first nation is the most important, and from, it's like a hierarchy, and it goes from there. Well, the second nation is Persia, and of course Iran is modern day. Persia is modern day Iran. Let's put it that way. Persia is modern day Iran. The name was only changed about 50-60 years ago. So for thousands of years it has been called Persia. It's in the same geographic location. Iraq was actually part of the Persian Empire. So it's all kind of mixed together there. And what I find just absolutely fascinating is 50 years ago, Iran was not a power at all in the area. I mean, it had a military, but it was sort of a joke. And now what we see is the rise of Iran with radical jihad, radical Islam, the vitriol that is spewing out of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad on a weekly basis towards Israel is through the roof. It's just unprecedented, and he threatens Israel continually. What's interesting is Benjamin Netanyahu, the former prime minister of Israel, has stated that it was interesting. You know, I heard him say the quote, and I had said exactly the same thing that week to my wife. The only difference was I was a little more gracious with the time. I said 1935, and Netanyahu said 1938, and my quote was, talking to my wife, I said, you know, it looks like it's 1935 and Iran is Germany. And like the same week, Benjamin Netanyahu goes, it's 1938 and Iran is Germany. And I about fell off my chair when he said that.
And of course, basically, it was in 1939 then that the Second World War really began.
That's it. So he's, you know, Netanyahu is Sabra. He's an Israeli Jew born there and really knows the whole politics. Really knows the politics of the Middle East probably better than any man, and really he's a staunch defender of Israel. Frankly, I'm hoping that the Omar government collapses here and they get Bibi back, because at least we'll see someone who can deal with this type of terrorist. Because the terrorists, if they in the eyes of these radical jihadists, the only thing they understand is force. And I hate to say that, but it's true. The only god theirs is a god of war. And the only thing they respect is force and brutality. If you turn the other cheek, if you're try to be benevolent, if you give them peace for land, I mean, how much more do they have to do? Or do they have to give them all of Israel, you know, before there's peace? And there never will be. And the litmus test of this is Gaza. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Land for peace, land for peace, land for peace. Okay, we'll give you Gaza. What happens? 24 hours later, the Katyusha rockets are flying over the border from Gaza into Israel. So it's laughable in the sense that Rice and the Clintonistas before that, when Clinton went into the Middle East, and Bush just a few months ago when he toured the Middle East, there'll be peace in the Middle East in the next 8 months. There'll be a Palestinian nation. It's ludicrous. These guys, it's been the Middle East conundrum, and it continues to be so. And this, in my opinion, Dr. Stan, which is still part of the prophecy that Jesus talks about, that Jerusalem will be a stumbling block to the whole world. And what we see is, you know, and you can go back and you can make a case, well, during the Crusades, Jerusalem was a stumbling block. Okay, I'll grant you that. But it's not like it is today. It's not like, you know, in the times of the Crusades, mail traveled very slowly, passenger pigeon or horseback. So, you know, if something happened in Jerusalem, it would be months before it got back to, let's say, England or France or wherever. Today, it's like instantaneously. We communicate at the speed of light by the Internet. Something happens, we see pictures of it, we're alive. They've got satellite cameras. I mean, everything is like, boom, it's like we're all hooked up. The planet is wired together. And what we see now is Jerusalem literally is becoming, actually has become, that stumbling stone that Jesus himself talks about. And I believe we're in the time where these things will be fulfilled. And unfortunately, it's going to trigger supernatural events. We've talked about this in the first part of the show. I believe it's going to trigger supernatural events which we have never seen on the earth, earth-shaking supernatural events. And you say, well, you know, Lynn, you got this whole UFO thing, and you know, so what if they appear? The guy that I spoke to down in Stevensville, and for your listeners, Stevensville is a major UFO flap that happened a little over 5-6 weeks ago.
And that's in Texas, and there was a fellow out there, the little town. He saw this ship, I guess, was a mile across, something like that.
Yeah,
a mile
long. And I've spoken to the witness 3 or 4 different times now, okay. Actually 3 times. And I sent him my book. The first time I sent him my book, he never got it. He's had black helicopters over his house. His phone is tapped. He's been threatened by anonymous phone calls to stop talking about it, and on and on and on.
And, of course, basically other people now have seen the craft. He's not alone in this. And I think what's so interesting is he's getting threats and being told not to tell people about it, not to mention it. Why? Well, this is the same thing that happens to so many of the people who've seen UFOs. They've been threatened. And who's threatening them? And why? What do they want to conceal from the American people? That's what it's really about. Go right ahead, Lynn.
Thank you. And when I spoke to this witness, he told me specifically that when he looked at this thing, it's overwhelming, his words, not mine. It is overwhelming the first time you see something like this. It's mesmerizing, my word. It's mesmerizing. It's overwhelming. It shatters your worldview. His quote was, the blinders were taken off. That's what he told me. When he saw this thing, the blinders were taken off. In other words, it shook him to his roots. He's still trying to figure out how to process it. And I'll probably call him this weekend and see if he's had time to read my book and see what he thinks. Because the whole book is based on this idea that the political will fulfill the prophetic, which will then trigger the supernatural. I mean, that's a thumbnail sketch of it. And I believe that what is coming, again, I go back to 2 Thessalonians, that Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders. What I find really interesting is that the churches are so reluctant to talk about any of this at all. In other words, what do we expect? We expect some just guy just to rise up out of the middle of nowhere and it's like, hi, I'm the Antichrist and I'm here to take over. I mean, surely we must realize that the forces of evil are, pardon the pun, but hell-bent on making this thing happen. And it's like this thing has been, like Paul talks about, the mystery of iniquity is at work 2,000 years ago in Paul's writing, that even now the mystery of iniquity is at work. And we see the secret societies in throughout the world, and we see the Luciferic machinations which are drawing people into what is going to become a global war. And it talks about, you know, Paul saying Satan coming with all signs and lying wonders, and yet the church refuses to deal with what is going on. And it's like if I'm wrong, then what else is manifesting on the earth? Well, you've got apparitions of the Virgin Mary, which I believe are tied into it. That's a whole other discussion. But what supernaturally is happening on the planet, the thing that is being witnessed by literally thousands of people, are UFO sightings, cattle mutilations, supposed abductions, which there's actually a series on the We Channel now, which has women who have been abducted, and they tell their story for an hour. They tell their story. And you can see that most of these people are broken. They're kind of closed off. They're like their lives have been shattered by these things. So you've got crop circles, you've got cattle mutilations, you've got UFO sightings, you've got alien abductions. All of these things are supernatural events, in my opinion. They're not ET from thousands of miles away. They're interdimensional. They're satanic beings that are somehow able to manifest in our space-time continuum, and that's what we're looking at. And this is what's manifesting on the planet, and the church refuses to look.
Well, I think that they're going to have to look at this sooner or later, because, of course, these things are not imaginary. They're really very, very real. And, of course, there are over 5,000 cases of alien abductions that have been collected by, I believe, Dr. Mack back at Harvard University, who's tried to study these scientifically? Mm-hmm. And they all have pretty much the same story. Of course, it's very obvious as you begin getting into it that the people who are well-versed in Christianity, this doesn't actually happen to them, but it's the people who are either fallen away Christians or do not know the Lord. And didn't you tell me one time that one of these people was about to be abducted, called upon the name of our Lord, and it all ended?
What happened was, this is told to me by the man who interviewed this gentleman, and the guy that did this at the time was an alien abduction researcher for MUFON, okay? And he was not a believer. He was not a believer. And over a period of about a year, they had two or three people that called their center and said basically the same thing, that they were abducted, and during the abduction that they yelled out, the blood of Jesus, or Jesus help me, and they stopped the abduction. And what by hearing these stories, it caused this MUFON investigator to examine Christianity, and he became born again. He became a born again Christian because he realized that out of all these people that he was interviewing, the only people who seemed to have power over the abductions were the Christians, who yelled out, the blood of Jesus, or Jesus help me, and they would stop the abduction cold. And the abductees I've talked to, and I asked this one woman point blank. I said, "Have you ever called out to Jesus?" Well, I call out to God. I said, that's not what I'm talking about. Have you ever called out to Jesus? Because, God is, what is God? I mean, everybody has got a different opinion, but there's Jesus and God are the same. We know that. But the blood of Jesus is what we as Christians really believe, and that's what we hold on to. And, of course, she hadn't really made that commitment, hadn't traveled in that. So there is no power. You can yell any name, and it's not going to work. But yelling a name or invoking the name of Jesus as a Christian, we're bought by his blood, when we've been, we've counted the cost, and he's Lord and Savior. Even if we've fallen away, those people who fell away and were in the process of being abducted. And this one guy was kind of backslidden. He hadn't been at church and all this stuff. And he talks about being levitated about 6 feet off the bed. His wife's asleep, and there's like 6 grays in the room. I mean, it was absolutely terrifying. And he yells, "Jesus, help me." And boom, the thing stops just like that. And see, why I believe it's spiritual and interdimensional. This dovetails so neatly with the interview that I did, which is, by the way, on my monthly newsletter, but the interview I did with a gentleman who was a retired missionary who saw the Mothman in 1967. And the thing appeared in his room at the foot of his bed at 2:30 in the morning. He was terrified, couldn't speak, felt like he was being choked. He describes it as wickedness. That's his word, wickedness. It was like just the manifestation of wickedness. That's what it was. And he said the blood of Jesus. And the moment he said that, the thing began to disappear. Well, isn't there a direct correlation between the retired missionary that I interviewed and this gentleman who was abducted in a complete, states apart, thousands of miles and decades of difference in time? It's the same thing. They're evoking the name of Jesus Christ, and they get the victory. And isn't that what we're told to do in Ephesians 6? That our weapons are not carnal, but they are of the supernatural. And yet the church, for the most part, is so asleep on this stuff. And that's why, Dr. Stan, thanks for having me on, because it's like you can see that I'm passionate about it. I really believe in the stuff I'm talking about. And I just believe that when this stuff hits, the church is going to be just kind of left going, well, I thought we were going to get raptured, or why would... In fact, I remember I was telling this to a group of men at a men's conference, and I was, giving the whole lecture. And when I was done, I was fielding questions, and this one man stood up, and he was really angry. He was saying, but God wouldn't do that to us. He says in the Bible that he would never send us anything that we can't handle. And another man stood up and answered for me, and he said, yes, but it also says in the Bible that even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. And then the rest of the men in the room began to nod their heads and murmur amongst themselves. So this is the type of stuff we're going to be engaged with, I believe, soon. I think it's ramping up. It's burgeoning. The phenomena is becoming more media accepted. I actually had a call from the Denver Post They wanted to do an interview, but then they backed out. That's another story. So, but at least it's like loosening up. People are starting to look at it. Let's say a decade ago, the Stevensville sighting just would have just been a big hoopla in the media. Well, Larry King had a bunch of experts on, George Norrie, Stanton Friedman, and other people, actually other witnesses from other sightings, specifically the Phoenix Lights, talking about the UFO. And these two girls who were teenagers at the time looked up. The thing passed over their house. It was huge. It was silent. It took minutes to pass over. And they did, you know, the skeptics on Larry King, and they just laughed at him and said, look, we were there. You weren't. You know, we're not trained observers, but we saw what we saw. You know, we're not numbskulls. We saw what we saw, and it was not of this world. Whatever it was, we don't know what it was, but it was huge, and it took minutes to pass over our house. It blocked out the sky. So, you know, the church needs to wake up that indeed, I'm not the only one who's traveling in this. Guys like Tom Horn, Patty Heron has written some books on it, Mike Heiser, David Flynn. I mean, there's a bunch of us. Steve Quayle, certainly, that believe that the end time scenario and the coming great deception will more than likely be this resurgence. Chuck Messler's another one, resurgence of the Nephilim on this planet, or the fallen angels on this planet.
Well, I think that there really are supernatural forces, and of course our job is to try to prepare Christians for the very difficult times that lie ahead. There's been an organized effort on the part of people at the highest levels of the government to conceal this or to confuse this and say, oh, well, of course, you know, the reason for concealing it is we don't want the people to know about the aliens. It's those aliens out there, and the people would panic. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is not an alien phenomenon. This is a supernatural phenomenon from the other dimension, from the spiritual dimension. And the Bible tells us so much about that spiritual dimension. Our guest, Lynn Marzulli. Lynn, once again, is your telephone number?
Sure, 310-457-5564. 310-457-5564.
You hang right on there. All right, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, Lynn.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Well, first of all, I'd just like to thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me back on. It's just an honor to be here. And I'd just like to encourage our, you know, your listeners that, you know, get a copy of this book and give it to as many people as you possibly can. Send it out. You've got it lower than Amazon. I think it's $10 plus shipping. And what I also do is I have this monthly newsletter. It's usually about between 25 and 35 pages. Sometimes there's interviews with different people on a variety of different subjects. For instance, cattle mutilation. We've talked to people. Eyewitness have seen some triangular craft really up close. We've seen cattle mutilations and abductees. So, and of course, we get into the politics and the prophecy too. Ongoing news, commentary, lots of commentary by me. I'll usually take an article, write a couple of paragraphs of commentary on it, link it back into either scripture or prophetic or parts of the book. So it's very informative, but I just encourage you to do it. I think it'll arm you as a Christian with what may be coming on the earth, and it's good stuff.
Well, I certainly would encourage people to start getting the information and start studying it, and once you're convinced, then to help Lynn and myself get Christians prepared for the difficult times that lie ahead. I think so many times that one of my mentors, the one who I really look to for so much of my knowledge in Christianity, said, you know, there's so many people that go to church who are so heavenly minded, but they're no earthly good. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've got to see the world as it really is. And we're going to have to be the ones who begin to lead, you know, not only the Christians, but the non-Christians, because otherwise people are going to panic. They really are, as these supernatural manifestations come about, and we're forewarned it's going to happen. And of course, any idea that we're not going to be here during difficult times, I believe, is simply misleading us intentionally. Certainly, I know many of my good friends are pre-trib rapture, but the question I say to them is, what happens if the rapture takes 30 years after America's fallen? Is there any place in the Bible that says that terrible things are not going to happen to Christians or to the Christians of the United States? What do you do when that question is raised to you, Lynn?
Well, I basically what I try to tell people is, and there's some people are so hung up on this, they actually become angry. We should know all three positions, and we're just told to watch. That's it. We're told to watch. You know, we're not told to pick a position. I believe in the rapture, but I honestly don't believe it's going to happen free. I pray to God it happens free. I really do. I think it's somewhere in the middle. quite honestly, before the wrath. But we're told to watch. You know, Jesus himself, when you see these things happen, begin to happen, lift up your head because your redemption is coming.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Chris Lynn, and I do talk during the time we're not on the air during the commercials. So if you'd like to go ahead and to get a copy of the tape, why, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, once again, Lynn's book is excellent. We recommend it. And if you have difficulty getting through to him, you can always give us a call, and we'll put you in touch with him. Lynn is a minister of the gospel, but, of course, a little different than most ministers because he is totally dedicated to trying to sound the warning. And I will tell you one thing, and that is when you become aware of the supernatural dimension, when you become aware of the fact that the Bible is accurate, the prophecies, well, we may be going to see them unfolding for our very eyes. It makes everything so much more exciting, not something to be feared of, but, of course, to look forward to anticipation, because when these things come to pass, it means that the Lord will be coming again in the not-too-distant future. But I believe we're in for some very, very difficult times. In the meantime, we have a great DVD. It's on UFOs. It's called Government Secrecy and UFOs. Now, I will tell you that although I agree with almost everything in this DVD, and you'll see real pictures of UFOs, the man who puts it together is a good friend of mine, but he believes they're aliens. I don't believe it so at all, because we're coming from a Christian perspective. And I don't believe in aliens from outer space coming here. I believe UFOs are a manifestation of demonic forces. So that's Government Secrecy and UFOs. We have a great book on the subject entitled Alien Intervention. That's Alien Intervention. And then, of course, we have so many other, much other information on this supernatural battle. We have our 4 tapes out on the supernatural and a book written by a medium. It's called The Beautiful Side of Evil, written by Johanna Michelson, who incidentally will be our guest on the October 26th conference. If you can possibly get out here to California to hear that conference, we're going to have Dr. Russell Blaylock there. We're going to have Johanna Michelson. We're going to have other fascinating speakers. It's, well, it's one thing that many people have come to and told me afterwards. It was one of the high points of their year or time. Great speakers, and Johanna Michelson will be there. But we do carry my 4 tape set, 2 hours of interviews with Johanna Michelson, and then her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. And then, of course, we have Malachi Martin, Father Malachi Martin, a Jesuit priest who we got to know. His book, Hostage to the Devil. Hostage to the Devil, and then, of course, his 4 tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, 4 CDs if you prefer them. And then, of course, we have, I think one of the finest explanations of what's going on today. And it's a video set. You can get it in the 3-hour. The 4-hour, the 10-hour version, that's DVDs or videos. But it's called They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll. If you haven't seen it, I promise you, you will never look at the world through the same eyes after you've watched these DVDs, because it's the story of the music industry and the fact that many of our leading rock stars have actually sold their souls to the devil intentionally, purposely, and they've been richly rewarded. But let me warn you, you do not want to do that. So that the Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, let me recommend my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and my more recent talk. It's entitled Forbidden Secret. Forbidden Secret. What's the forbidden secret? Well, it's the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years by the sages, by the leaders of the mystery religions, the secret societies. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, these secret societies exist to this very day in the form of theosophy, the Lucis Trust, the Masonry. Of course, you say, well, they cannot secret. You can read about them up on the Internet. You can, but they will never tell you the truth, of course, where their power comes from and the danger of accessing that power. Our 4 tapes out on the secret, behind the secret, 4 tapes or 4 CDs, you'll certainly want to get that. And then, of course, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage,